Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Good evening. Welcome on No Better. Well, we waffle while the adverts run. I won't go into a proper intro yet. I'll just give it 10, 20 seconds and then we'll dive in and do it.
You understand people that listen to the audio this pod have to listen to that first fucking few seconds.
Yeah, and the ones that watch it on YouTube after the fact.
They don't mind because that's what this pod is, you know. It's not a podcast, as we've been told. It's not professional, so yeah. But yeah, run us an intro, Gilly, and then we'll fire into all this.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Like some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
The utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Good evening. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 36. I'm joined by pod regulars, Luke and Gilly. How are we doing, boys?
Sweet.
Could be worse.
Well, nothing spectacular, but this time it was spectacular, but for all the wrong reasons. How's everybody doing? Are we good? You know, are we well?
Yeah.
Are you still conscious, Luke?
I tell you what, I said before these last three games that this fixture that we've just had was probably going to be the hardest of the three for me. Off the back of playing City, you know, Allardyce first game at home, there was a lot to live up to, and it was always going to be a tough one. Newcastle, decent side, you know, they're like slowing it down and spoiling the game and controlling the tempo. We didn't let them do it. We probably did it better than them. It was nice to actually feel a little bit more in control of the games. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because I've been guilty of doing that already when Gracia joined, because I felt he was good at doing that. And he was to start with, but yeah, I think there's a lot more positives to take from Saturday lunchtime, than we probably expected as a group.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. How are you doing, Gilly? What are you thinking?
More positive than I was, still a lot less positive than Luke. I think he's probably about where I am. I didn't think we'd get the 3 points. There was the head versus heart moment that we spoke about on the last pod, and I was saying, my head says we get nothing, my heart says we get a draw.
Yeah.
And it really was that, and the odds bore that out. I think if you look at the balance of the game and the fact that, you know, we said after the Man City game, we said, you know, the positives that we can take from this is if we go down, at least we're going down swinging, we're going down with a fight, and that's what we really needed to see. So that's continued. There is the fight, there is the... I know people have been called passion merchants, and I think Joe tends to get that label quite a bit. quite unfairly, you know, we, I think if you go to football, then you don't get passionate about a game that's that ebbs and flows and it's end to end and there's four goals in it. There could be a lot more in it. Well, if you don't get passionate about that, what are you doing in the sport?
Oh, looking God, at yeah.
the sport,
exactly.
watching the sport anyway. So, I think I'm a bit more positive than I was. I've surprised myself at the way that I'm considering our new coach. In how positively I'm seeing him at the moment, where I'd absolutely battered him. I had a look back at some of my old tweets, and I've put him right in that bracket with Daesh and Pulis and Brexit football and it's 4-4-2 and reflecting back on his time at West Ham and whatever else. So I think I've convinced myself that we're in a better position than I thought we were.
Yeah,
I don't think it's good enough, but I'm more positive than I was.
Bloody
that's
hell.
That's where I'm at.
Well, I mean, that's an improvement, to be fair. You were absolutely, talking up relegation for the last week or two.
I mean, not talking it up. I wasn't saying it was a good thing.
Oh, no, I didn't mean like that. I just mean you were like, oh, well, it's done now. That's it. We've had it.
I still think it is. I just think it's going to be closer than I thought it were going to be at the time.
Bloody hell. What do you reckon, Luke? Do you think we're looking healthy from here, or do you think we're still very much buggered?
I don't know.
Hang on.
That's some insight.
No, I don't know.
Did you see on Twitter that, going on what you just said, that being our most difficult fixture, surely we're going to get at least three or four points.
I think we will. And I think I said we'd get between 4 and 5, and I was laughed at on Twitter when I said we'll get 4 or 5 points, or 3 or 4, I said, actually, from our last three games. And people were literally, I think something stupid, like fucking 50 people bookmarked it, ready to throw it in my face as soon as we got hammered by Newcastle. I do feel confident. I do feel confident that we've probably got the best person in charge for this sort of fight at this stage of the season. Staying up doesn't matter. It's not on us now. We could still win both games and still be relegated, unfortunately. You know, it's out of our hands. So whilst I'm positive, I still think we will get something from both those games. Not necessarily both wins, but I think we'll still pick up at least a point in both of those games. I think it's in our hands. And Matt touched upon it there. Gilly touched upon it, saying passion and showing a bit of fight and stuff. It's something we've lacked for, I would argue, since Marsh left. You know, we all said that although Marsh wasn't the right person for the job, there was no denying that until toward the end that every player on that pitch played for him and got put in and you know, got stuck in and you know, it was his style in terms of his aggressive press and everything else that went with it. But we saw a lot of that actually on Saturday, I felt, and I didn't expect it actually from Sam Allardyce to see Rodrigo and Bamford going at defenders and trying to make them make mistakes when you know they press the bad touch quite often, and it worked. You know, they've got two slow wing backs or full backs, whatever they play, in Trippier and was it Dan Burn started for him at left back?
So I felt we
sort of neutralized that quite well, because they haven't got they're not the quickest, but they've both got real good pass on them. So we neutralized that quite well. We pressed those two quite hard, left us undone a couple of times. But I was really surprised with how we set up, and I was quite excited as well. And then obviously the unthinkable happened and we got really excited, and then the unthinkable happened again and we got really, really excited, overly excited. And but what was meant to happen happened, I suppose. I think we'll come on to that shortly, but I think it's out of our hands, but it's also in our hands. We've got it in us to get results in both those games and still go down.
Fair enough. I think you're pretty spot on there. We just don't know what's going to happen, do we? That's the hardest part. We don't know. There's no way of knowing. It could absolutely anything could happen. It could be all over by the end of Saturday, or it could be or Sunday, or we could be flying high and thinking we've pretty much pulled this off. You've got no clue what's going to happen. we'll fire into the predictions and we'll come back to the previous game because I know Gilly's going to want to go through the specs. He's been looking forward to this, I think. Take it away.
Auto no better predictions.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a different tack here. So we'll address those with minus points first. So Big Lou went 9-0 Newcastle. and due to the fact that we got, Lou knows just how far away he is from anybody else in the table at all. So he's putting a worse showing than Southampton. I think I think this is derby levels that Lou is now achieving. So he went 9-0 Newcastle because it's all over and done with anyway for him. Got himself a -3 by virtue of the fact that he's got a draw. Bren and Smarty both went 3-1 Newcastle. So they also get themselves a -3. So we laugh at the 9-0, but it gives Lou the same thing it gives Smarty and Bren. Then we come on to the 0 points. Jay, you went against what your thoughts were to try and hedge your bets in the league, and it's not worked out for you, mate. You got 0 points.
It cost me.
Carl's a pussy. Didn't predict at all. Gets nothing. Luke went 4-2 Leeds. He got the two right, but no point, unfortunately. Si, no points. Scotty, no points. Even Jason was positive this time and went 2-1 Leeds. Zero points. Yeah. So then we come on to the points being handed out. We've got Joe went with a 1-1 draw. Gets himself 3 points. Liam B from the fans went for a 1-1 draw, gets himself 3 points, or gets the fans 3 points. Stats went 1-1 draw, gets 3 points. And Gilly went 2-0 draw and gets himself a big sweet 5 points. And do you know what that does, Jay? Bottom up on the table, Lou -19, Smarty -4, Si -3, fans are on 4, Bren's on 5. Former winner Bren is on 5 points. Joe's on 7, Luke's on 10, Cal and Jason are joint on 11, Stats is on 12, Gilly's on 23, and Jay's on 26 and wobbling. He's having an Arsenal.
Nah, it's all good here, mate. There's no wobbling.
I fucking can't believe I went 4-2 Leeds.
Had you had a beer, mate?
I don't even remember doing it. I said when people were giving predictions in the group, I was like, I haven't got a fucking clue what I predicted. You could tell me out, to be fair.
You can go back and watch it if you want. You were on the pod when you gave it.
Nah, this isn't a podcast. I won't watch this.
All at sea, mate. You had no idea, did you?
So we're all done there, Jay. You can come back to me towards the end for the next round, but that's this week's.
Yeah, we'll do. Nice one. Cheers for that. Twat. So just going back to the previous game, we'll discuss that properly and then we'll move on to the next part of the pod. But did anybody sort of stand out for you guys, good or bad, other than obviously Junior Firpo on a one-man wrecking mission?
Do you know what, though? I think both of the players who have been getting slated actually didn't have that bad of games. One got a red card and one missed a penalty, but in the grand scheme of the 90 minutes or however many minutes Firpo played before he got sent off, I think it was still the 90th minute or so, they didn't actually play too badly. Bamford won. I remember him winning 5 or 6 free kicks. He was putting himself in front of the defenders, exactly where you want your centre forward to get. Yes, he's missed a penalty. Yes, as a number 9 in the Premier League should not miss a penalty. Callum Wilson showed you how to take a penalty twice and not miss a penalty. Yeah. And it's about, keeping you cool, keeping composed and just smashing the ball in the net. It's fucking easy. To be paid 70 grand a week or whatever they're on, you should be able to put a ball in from 16, 15 yards, 12 yards. Or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Fucking
the penalty is harder to miss than it is to
12 yards out. So, but in the grand scheme of things, and I know they're going to take a lot of the stick, and we'll come on to the absolute appalling news about Patrick Bamford and the shit he's been getting.
We'll talk about that.
But in the grand scheme of things, they weren't that bad. Firpo won a penalty.
Yeah, he did.
Firpo was getting forward. He played relatively well. Yes, he got 2 yellow. He's a walking yellow card. He always gets booked. We knew he was going to get booked. And for the penalty, it was daft. I don't even think it was it was purposeful. I think it was an accidental. I think he's just, you know, he's got his hand up. So yeah, look, it was in terms of actual performances, I don't think there was a bad performance as such on the field. I thought they all played relatively well.
Yeah.
That team was lining up against a team that's pushing for Champions League football. There didn't look that much of a gap between the two sides on the field.
No,
they've pretty much nailed it down, haven't they? I think it's certainly theirs to lose. I think if they get anything more than 1 point from the last two games, they've nailed it. They're in the Champions League. So
yeah,
you're right. Yeah. Just on that Firpo decision, the penalty against him, not the penalty he won. Was it really harsh that he didn't get a foul?
He's pushing the back.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got his arm up in the air, which. And it's so far away, you know, his hand's so far away from his body, you're thinking, what are you doing there? But he's definitely pulled over his shoulder, surely.
Yeah. I thought that's
what I saw.
I couldn't believe it in real time when I seen it, because it just didn't look like anything. And we saw, was it Isaac or Willock was appealing straight away to the ref? And everyone was like,
Isaac were right in referee's face.
Fucking give over. Give over.
It didn't need to be that ref were giving everything their way all day. They were never in doubt.
In real time, Jay, it didn't even look like a penalty. And I don't, you know, the ball didn't sort of go off in any sort of other direction or anything like that. It was almost like it must have been handball for him to appeal it, and everybody else in the stadium missed it. So like when it went to him, we just thought, oh, for fuck's sake. But yeah, look, I don't. In terms of the actual performances on the field, look, I thought Greenwood was all right in the first half. He sort of tired. He wasn't great. I thought Forshaw was good. I thought Forshaw was really good.
Yeah,
I thought he's what we've been missing since Adams has been out. Somebody just calm, composed, and just, you know, puts himself about a little bit. McKennie had a decent game again.
I
don't think there was an actual shit performance on the field, and in terms of anyone actually standing out, I don't know. Robles looks safe with the ball at hand. You know, you don't seem to squirm every time the ball goes into the area. He does punch it, but he does punch it.
Yeah.
You know, he clears his lines. He doesn't sort of mess about. Luke Ayling had a relatively good game, I think, as well.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, as well.
And Rasmus at centre back.
Yeah. He's doing all right, isn't he? Yeah. What did we think of Cock going into midfield and Rasmus playing centre back then?
I was fuming. I was absolutely you fuming. I was spitting feathers. And do you know what? He had a decent game.
He did.
I think you look at the way that Sam Allardyce is insistent on shape. I think the one thing that comes across for me so far is if you go in for a tackle, you go in for a tackle.
Yeah,
and I don't think he puts up with anything less than that. But overall, I think what I've seen from him is whatever he defines as the shape of the side is, that's what it needs to stay.
Yeah,
and if we talk about what the drawbacks that Cox had in terms of reading the game, in terms of needing to be managed through the game, actually, if he's got a solid shape and he always knows where he's meant to be, it looked like it lent itself to his game pretty well. So
yeah,
I think in terms of the coaching and putting him into midfield, it wasn't an issue. And for me to say that is it's a pretty big deal. It wasn't an issue. He didn't stick out as somebody of a complete fish out of water. And the thing is, I thought he had a better game in midfield than he did under Bielsa, which is pretty much as high a praise as you can give a coach, because.
Yeah.
We saw that what he could do, and I thought that was one of his better games for a long time.
I think it's a different game. The things he was expected, the athleticism he was expected to show under Bielsa, so he's completely chalk and cheese to what Allardyce wanted him to do. You know, and I think that's probably why he looked better in that role under Allardyce than he ever did under Bielsa. So look, all in all, a good team performance. Look, there was individual areas that cost us winning that game, and it's as simple as that.
I were very upset, to be fair, about not going 2-0 up, and I were fuming with Bamford. I absolutely were. And I did tweet and say, I don't want to see him in a Leeds shirt ever again. We all know how emotional I am after a game, so I did regret that a little bit.
These were more than many, I would say. I was I were at the cash bar in the Peacock and you came in and you were absolutely fuming, spitting feathers, and I'm still there going, we just got a 2-2 draw. They're third in league. We just got a 2-2 draw against them and we played really well. What on earth is going on? He's going, fucking bad, fucking should have beaten them. Fucking, I'm fuming. I never want to see him at least shit again. Fucking,
oh, God. I was very upset.
Wow. Do you still feel the same now you've reflected on it, though, Jay?
No, not so much, because now I've reflected on it, it's like, do you know what? Anybody else could have gone up and missed. We don't know that they'd have scored. We don't know that going 2-0 up would have won us the game because they're a good side. It would have been nice, and I really wanted him to do it. But yeah, I mean, it were a bit of an emotional reaction rather than a logical one, I think.
Just on the Bamford thing. Then, do we think it was taken purely for selfish reasons to try and get his confidence back up rather than Rodrigo's a top goal scorer who's scored penalties this season? Do we think it was a Bamford decision rather than a team decision?
I think it were a Bamford decision, but I don't know whether it's because he was being selfish and trying to sort himself out and get back on the score sheet, or if it's because maybe he's desperate to contribute and he wanted to score that for us. I don't know.
I think partly that, but I also think partly I need to show everybody, including myself, that I've still got what it takes. And the thing is, if it goes in, then brilliant, because then it's flying. But the thing is, if it doesn't, you end up in the situation we found ourselves in, where we could have been 2-0 up and all of a sudden it's 1-1. And then it's eating him inside. When we've talked about him being a confidence player in the past, the massive boost putting that penalty away would have had is a polar opposite to the outcome that we got. And it's that risk versus reward. And you know, with the best will in the world, I think Pat's a great guy and he's been a real servant to the club. And you know, in those two seasons, when he 16 and 17 goals in consecutive seasons, got us up, kept us up, played well. But we all looked at each other in the stands and went, "Ah, oh, fuck!"
Yeah, we did too. I think everyone in the ground did.
So, we were opposite end to you, so it's not like it was a localized thing. It was a fuck. And
I missed this. I haven't seen. The chat with
no. I don't think you did. I have seen Sam speak on this, but only on this. So if there was any additional context, I've not got it. It was just this clip. But what he said was, he's not been involved in a conversation around who the penalty taker is. So he'd not said, "Patrick, you're my penalty taker." He'd left it as it was.
Yeah.
So he'd not intentionally left it as Paddy. He'd just not been involved in the conversation around who was going to take it.
And apparently Rodrigo missed his last penalty. Who was that against then? I thought he scored his last penalty. Did he miss
Rodrigo
one at
Wolves? Hasn't missed one in the league. I've not fact-checked this. My recollection is Rodrigo's taken two and Click's taken two in the league, scored them both.
Was it Fulham?
Pablo took four, scored all four. Paddy's taken four and scored two.
Oofed.
So it must have been in cup.
Oofed.
Unless the tweet that I saw was wrong. just while we're talking on stats, one other one that I saw, and I saw this replicated elsewhere, so fairly confident, a little bit more confident this one, was you mentioned Forshaw having a good game. There was an Opta stat, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it's only the seventh time in Premier League Opta record history that anybody's played 45 minutes or less and had the most passes for most successful passes for their team.
Good God, man.
I mean, that is amazing. Again? It's the first time... It's only the seventh time it's ever happened in any game under the Opta stats that any players had 45 minutes or less for their side and had the most passes.
That's crackers,
most successful
really.
Passes. He had 19 successful passes in it more than anybody else who were only on pitch for a nap.
I mean, it's no disrespect to Forshaw when I say
I mean, his passes
it's
are about three metres. Only past 3 metres.
You've got Meckham. Nobody else were doing it.
Yeah.
It's a sad indictment of the club that we're still relying on him, but thank God we've still got him.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you know, he has come on, he has done well. I've always rated him. His issue is he's made out of biscuits. When he's fit and on it, he plays well. I've spoken effusively a few times about that night against Derby on the Spygate night. He absolutely ran the show. And yes, all right, he's at championship level, but we did have a world class manager say that he was our best player. Our only Champions League player, I think, is what the quote was.
He's almost the epitome of an Allardyce type defensive midfielder, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Other than you'd think it might be somebody tall. That's the only thing. The way that he plays the game, yeah, absolutely. I do. Just you've reminded me of something I said at the weekend is how much would Big Sam love to have a Joffy? I think Joffy would be an absolute perfect Big Sam player. Not the one to go up and win everything in the air, but absolutely put himself about and be that little bull and all of that. Big man, little man, he'd definitely be all over Joffy. He'd want to win in team. So it's a shame that he's out on loan. But I think he would. He was just reminding me of something I said at the weekend.
Speaking of which, they're 2-0 down at the moment, Sunderland.
Are they?
Yeah, 3-2 on aggregate.
There's quite a few of these links in there because obviously Jack Clark's there and Joffy's still there and
Jack Red Bull.
Just to clear this up, Smarty, it's a bread cake.
It is a bread cake, and if me and Luke agree on it, then it's a fact.
No, bread cake and tea cake are both. That's fine.
No, tea cake is something you have for breakfast with currants in.
No, that's a currant tea cake.
It's a bread
sounds
cake.
Like hot cross bun to me.
It's a bread cake. Anyway, we're not having that discussion because we'll be here all that forever.
Can you take? I'm guessing that means that he's talking about himself. I'm from Morley, but
don't tell
I'm hoping he's not been stalking me for that long.
We're knocking on your windows.
Bloody hell, fire.
Just to go back to though, Jay, what you said about do we think we would have scored? Look, when the player's out of confidence, you don't let him. The only thing you need to take a penalty is confidence. Anybody, including you and I, can score from 12 yards out. Anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But to do that in front of nearly 40,000 people, you need confidence, and that is all you need. And we've put Paddy Bamford has put himself in a position where he's the least confident person at the club at the moment. He's having an absolute torrid time, and he's put himself in that position. It wasn't right. And look, would we have gone and won the game at 2-0 up? Absolutely.
I think we probably would. Yeah.
They didn't have anything. They went down the other end and scored an equaliser. They had two penalties. That's the only goals they scored. We limited them so well. They had two penalties scored from two penalties.
I thought it were a great team performance. It were annoying to not take the lead like that, and it were annoying to give the penalty away. But do you know, we're a team that's been absolutely steamrolled all season. The fact that they've got anything left in them at all and they've gone out there and done that is fucking massive for me.
Yeah.
Against
I think, you know, the point on their first penalty is if our penalty goes in, then confidence is at a point where we're not snatching, we're not diving in, we're not, you know, that mistake isn't made for that first penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Firpo stumbles and then Verba's trying his absolute damnedest to cover him. But it just doesn't end up in that scenario if we put that away. And, you know, for me, I'd have had click on it, but then I wouldn't have shipped him off. So there you go.
Cheers, Jesse.
But you look at the players that we had on the pitch. Somebody asked me who I would have put on it before Paddy took it, and I said, I don't know, probably Verba. He hits a ball really hard.
I said Greenwood, I think.
Yeah, he's good on set pieces. Verba hits a ball really hard. All you've got to do is pick your spot, make sure it's not at a really nice height for a keeper, and hit it as hard as you can.
Yeah, that's
what did Paddy do? Hit it really softly, low at the perfect keeper's height.
A perfect height, yeah.
Pace and power every time for me.
It happens to anyone. You look at Ivan Toney's record in the Premier League, just for Brentford in totality. I think he'd scored 19 penalties on the bounce. I hope I've not just pulled that out of my ass and got that wrong. He missed one this season. He missed one fairly recently. And the questions were asked of, wow, he's not infallible. How has that happened? We thought that he was going to score every single one he would ever given. It's like, you know, it cannot go on forever. Eventually, something's not going to happen. But, you know, so I don't know. The thing for me is it felt wrong right from the start. It felt wrong. As soon as it was, you know, as soon as the pen were given, I was like, oh, no.
It did. Instead of excitement, it was nervous energy.
Yeah. And that might have happened, whoever picked up the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But it felt like it could have been handled a bit differently. I guess if Sam's not had that conversation, what you don't want to do is get involved as a manager at that time, take it off your number nine that you're hoping he's going to get on it, take it off him and absolutely send his confidence even further through the floor.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? He's said before that he needs to be the main man. He needs to be told he's the guy. And if the manager who's just come in turns around and says, no, you're not taking it, he's going to be like, fucking hell, this guy doesn't believe in me at all.
Exactly.
But he still should have told him he can't take it.
The one thing I would say is I am surprised, if it's not bluster, because you don't actually know what goes on the training ground, but if he's not been involved in that, I am surprised, because he strikes me as a person that looks at the minutiae of it. You know, he's gone to the squad and gone, who's got best long throw? Because we're going to use his weapon.
I agree.
It strikes me as the sort of thing that he's going to focus on really early on. Is who's my penalty taker?
Set pieces are so important when you're in that position.
And if he hasn't had that conversation, I'd be really surprised.
No, I don't believe that.
He says he hasn't, so that's all I can go on. But I'd be shocked if he hasn't. Yeah.
He also said he's as good as Pep.
Well, yes, but at the same time, he also said that was to take all of the pressure off my players.
Yeah,
and only dickheads believe me, I think he said.
But that's the point. He'll say what he thinks needs to be said at the time. And you don't know whether it's really what's happening or whether he's managing people. But, you know, I'm happy with what I'm seeing so far. And I would never, ever have asked for Big Sam to come and manage Leeds.
I know, it's mad, isn't it?
I'd never have asked for it.
It's crazy. And that's the point I'm making.
Here's a question then. If we go down, I know we ask it every week, but a bit off the back of that performance, do we think it gets a season with us?
I think probably, unless someone spectacular becomes available.
Well, we know who isn't available.
Marcelo Bielsa.
Uruguay. I think it's a difficult one because I think a lot of it comes down to it depends on him and how much he's up for that.
Yeah.
You know, he's come in for a very, very short space of time. And actually, this is what he does. And when he was first approached by us or when he first agreed to join us, he was asked the question by people of, did you expect it this season? He was like, I thought it was too late and nobody was going to bring me in. So it might be that, you know, you look at Colin, you look at Sam, you look at a few others, and they leave their jobs in the summer. And they wait until March and they get paid a fuckload of money for working hard. Don't get me wrong, doing the best job they can and working hard for about 8, 12, 16 weeks. Mm. Will he want it for a full season at this point? For me, I would go to him.
How old is he? Is he late 60s?
66, 67, isn't he?
For me, I think. I think we could do a lot worse than having.
I do as well
next
now.
Season. If we go down, I think we could do a lot worse.
Keeping someone in who's already there and has assessed the players and knows how to get out of that division, as he did with West Ham, then it's not a terrible idea. I wouldn't ever have picked him, as I said, in the past, but we are where we are. And, you know, unless we're going to get someone proven who's much better, then I just don't see a point in changing. I don't see a point in changing him for a gamble.
No, exactly. Like you say, the Gratia thing and some of the other names that were mentioned at the time as well is fucking mad. A couple of questions on this, Jay, just before you move on.
Go on.
Not questions. First one is I think this is spot on, actually. I think Sam has had that conversation, Kev Marston says, and he's put his confidence in Pat. It's not worked out, and now he's protected him. He knows how to manage the media, but also the media, the players. He's been about, do you know what I mean? He's been around the block. It's not new to him. He knows how to manipulate people into thinking that, you know, the right thing and to protect Pat is is probably the right thing to do in that situation for me.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's spot on. I think that's exactly what he's doing. And like you say, he knows his way around management. He's done it all.
Yeah, and then the other question was from Shelley Johnson. Who takes the next penalty if we get one? But it's not Patrick.
That's it though now, isn't it? Do you not let him now? Or do you say, you fucked it up last time, get out there and put it right? What?
If he's on the pitch, I've just said, I bet it's not Patrick. If Patrick Bamford's on the pitch and we get another penalty, I bet you he takes it.
I bet he does. But should he take it is the question. I don't think
so. Well, that was a question before last one.
Yeah. I'd give it to Rodrigo if he's on the field for me. I think
I'd be inclined to agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think we can put that on Patrick.
Danny Rumsey, Robles.
I like him.
He's going to kick it hard, isn't he?
He's definitely a bit of a nutcase, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, you've got to be a keeper, though, haven't you? Oh,
of course you have. Yeah, you're getting balls in your head all day, you know.
I thought he was walking a fine line, wasn't he, towards the end?
Fuck it. That would have been so bad if he'd got sent off, because we'd have had to put Melier back in and everything had gone tits up. But I really loved the way that he was pushing and he was like goading them and winding them up.
Do you know what?
Though? G'ing the crowd up and
giving them shit during penalties as well. You know, all of that bit. I mean, it wasn't to the same level, but
they were right in Wilson's face and they were like saying stuff to him, like lens down at him. Go on then, go on.
They do it to us. You know, you can do it.
Yeah, yeah. And ref booked him. I'm a big fan of that.
We haven't had enough of that actually since Click. Since Alioski's gone, and we haven't really had anybody to do that. I mean, Greenwood's got a bit in him, but he doesn't play often enough, you know. Ayling's got a little bit, I suppose, but we haven't got that somebody who can get under the skin, you know what I mean? Who can really get Paddy used to when he was confident, he used to get involved and he used to get under the skin, but you can see he's lacking confidence, just the way he carries himself and that. But we've got nobody currently who can do, and I'll repeat this, and I'll bang this drum because I truly believe it. He's not the player we had when he had that amazing season, first season back in the Prem or the last season in the Champ. But we haven't got anybody that can currently do what he does and run around for 90 minutes and just be a pain to the back, to the two centre backs.
And that's another one menace that's on the board.
Yeah,
it's not Patrick Bamford's fault that he's not able to get to the level that he did. It's bad. A fuck ton of injuries, and he's probably not quite who and what he was, but he's still trying. It's the board's fault that we can't put someone else in. It's the board's fault that we bought Ruta for 35 million and he gets to play under 21s.
Yeah, but even if he was, it's one of those where I still feel like he's doing his best. And you know, people
are
him and all of the shit that he's getting and all of that sort of stuff. Well, if a player's still doing their best, you know, we're not talking about somebody that's down tools. I still think he is doing everything that he can and he's putting the work in. He's just completely out of form, completely out of confidence. Mm-hmm. So, you know...
And there's only one way to get that back.
Yeah.
There's only one way of getting confidence and form back.
Score goals.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he can't do that if he's not on the pitch.
Yeah. And you are right. We've got nobody else that can do that. So he'll start the next game if he's fit. And he'll start every game. You know, I mean, there's only two to end the season, but he's gonna start both if he's fit and ready. He's gonna start both. But it's good to Jay's point. It's on the ball for not buying somebody that's more reliable a goal scorer.
Yeah,
you can't say anything else. It's not on him, is it?
No.
Mm.
It's not his fault at all. It's okay to, you know, get frustrated with him for not being up to scratch, but it's the board's fault that he's there in the first place. It's the board's fault there's not another option that can do the same job.
Yeah.
It's not his fault. I mean, I think that'll segue us nicely to the next bit of the pod anyway, because normally we'd have the poll in previous times.
Hang on.
You know. okay.
Just one more thing, just to comment on the Leeds fan. We don't know if it was a Leeds fan.
That guy.
He was in the stand, but the fan that went on and accosted Eddie Howe, and we don't know what was said. I don't think it's been reported what was said. He said he wasn't even entirely sure what the guy said to him. Mm. He's been banned for life. Great, good. I think there's been some really, really strange comments about typical Leeds fans and that sort of thing from fans of other clubs. Mm. Well, that were one fan in the entire stadium, and the rest of it, you know, everybody else went home and didn't get into any bother or whatever. I thought some of Eddie Howe's comments afterwards were really weird. Should anybody ever put up with that when they're entertaining the country? I'm not sure that's entirely right. They've been effective this season. They've not exactly been entertaining. They've been spoiling. They've been slowing games down. They've been effective. But they've been doing everything that they accused us of the last time we played against them. He can get in the bin for that. But absolutely, what Leeds have done is right. 100% is right. If you are in that stadium and you are adamant you're going to get on that pitch or you're going to go and accost somebody, really, really, really difficult for anybody that's involved in security to try and stop that happening.
You can't watch everyone.
Was he hoping to gain? And what had Eddie Howe done wrong? Do you know what I mean? I'm not against Eddie Howe. But if I felt that strongly that I was going to get a lifetime ban and put myself on an assault charge anyway, I'd make sure I was at least chinning him, wouldn't you?
You have to actually give him a dig, aren't you?
I don't get why he went to Eddie Howe and not to Rads up in the stand.
But I suspect that he was firmly around PIF and the state ownership and the human rights violations in the Middle East. That's
not Eddie Howe's fault.
It's not Eddie Howe's fault, but and all throughout,
he probably went on and went, "You lot are run by the decapitators." And
I do suspect it was around that and about the sports washing and all of that sort of stuff. For some of the comments that came out afterwards from our fine, you know, safety of staff is paramount.
Luke would have.
If you're going to get a ban, I'd make sure it was at least going to be for something good. Do you know what I mean?
And be entertaining with it.
Story to tell the grandkids and that. Do you know what I mean?
I tell you what, though, I wouldn't have wanted to mess with that big fella with beard. He would have unit.
That carted him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was a big lad, wasn't he? Looked like one of the ex-military people that's always angry.
It would have really, like I say, some really strange comments from Howe around entertaining the country and whatever else, and saying security is really important. Well, yeah, security is important, but at the same time, what can the security staff do if you're adamant that that's what you're going to do? You're going to get, you know, Chris Kirkland, Jack Grealish, they've both been slapped by fans actual pitch. You know, short of putting us in cages, how do you stop it?
Yeah,
and we saw just a quick one from Jammy.
Bully, when I was a kid, they used to be streakers, knacker bear, lads and lasses in those days. Women used to look like they had dunking and a leg lock. I can remember the old streakers.
Stuff out of the way before we got onto
I swear they used to film it, and even at the cricket and that, they don't now. They pan away and start talking about somebody. It's fucking crap. Yeah.
PC.
I bet they're still filming. They just don't broadcast it. That's all.
Yeah.
That's it. Can't offend anyone.
It'll go on some shit rerun of "They Think It's All Over" from years to come.
Didn't someone throw a cabbage?
Yes, they did. There was the guy at Middlesbrough, wasn't there, who tore up his season ticket and threw it at Steve McLaren.
Did you see the Everton fan? I think it might have been you put it in the group earlier, James, Mr. James Jonathan or something like that. It was you put it in the group, wasn't it? And he said, found the Everton season
ticket on
the road. And somebody quote tweeted it, "Keep it."
Yeah, the guy whose ticket quoted him and said, "Yeah, you can keep it." He don't want to fucking see it. I'm just going to fire through a couple of these comments that are starred just before we move on. So Michael Gott, he says, "Still nervous times. Just hope Sam can pull us out a win against West Ham. Need rubber the green for once, which we've not had lately." Paul Brennan says, "There's one thing special about Leeds. Good Kev Sinfield carrying his best mate Rob Burrow over the finishing line at the Rob Burrow Marathon. I was in bits, but proud of the lads. Respect." Yeah, that
made
my awesome,
nana cry, that.
Did it?
Yeah.
Did it make you cry?
I bet there were a lot of that.
Yeah, it's great.
That one. It's not me that brought that one up. It's probably because I brought one up when you already had that on. It's a bit weird, this. Michael Gott, he says, "Congrats to the 21s for their promotion after
So big up to them. Future is so bright, I've got to wear shades.
Yes, yeah, they did well, didn't automatic they? Promotion, but they did well.
Hey, listen, that's they're obviously well versed in the Leeds way.
They were pissing it.
They almost did a Chef Wednesday, didn't they?
Oh God,
very
that was
close.
Funny.
I mean, that is funny. That's really funny.
Weren't they all celebrating that they got? Were it Peterborough that they played?
Yeah, I've seen a
the beat Derby in the last game of the season.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Derby finished 7th instead of 6th.
And they've already taken bookings for the coaches.
Yeah,
down
that sign that they had up.
Yeah.
People started texting number, didn't they? Saying, oh, and can just, you get me a seat just on had coach?
I just had an argument with a Wednesday fan as well.
Did you go back and two-foot him? You said you weren't gonna.
Nah.
Did you?
I felt better by not doing it, and he knows that. He just knows that I'm waiting in the wings there, expecting me to come back and get him.
Like when you're a kid, you know you're going to get told off, but you don't get it straight away, so it plays in your mind.
Yeah, that's it. Next morning.
Smart is on here saying I'm from Bradford, but I'm not. I live in Bradford, Smart. I'm not from Bradford.
Bradford. He said Bradford.
Oh, listen.
It's Bradfoot. That's the wrong way around. It's Bradford, it is... not Bradfoot.
Listen, we're dealing with a man who spends his weekends in a tin box. you're not going to get any sense out of him.
Here's a question on something that I've only just as I were coming off the page. It says on BBC website, it says Firpo was sent off for a second yellow. Now, I know you were on the booking, but I thought it was a straight red.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion about this. I still don't know what's fact and what's not with that.
No.
If it was a straight red, we should appeal it.
On SofaScore, it's showing us 2 yellows.
And on BBC website, it does. I thought it was straight. I didn't see the second yellow, that's all.
I didn't see a second yellow. I saw it straight red. I didn't see him bring another yellow out.
No, me neither. Mr. Dodo,
question.
Oh, okay. Mr. Dodo's saying, get your passports ready.
Does it hurt us if Firpo's not available for West Ham?
Yes. Yeah. Because it means we're changing the team when we don't want to.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I guess if it's a second yellow, that means that it'll only be one match. So it'd be
available if it's a straight red.
If it was a straight red, it'd be three games. We could have appealed it.
Got to appeal it if it's straight red.
Second yellow, you wouldn't be able to, would you? So,
no.
The other question would be, does he come back in for Spurs if he's available for that, but not for West Ham? We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We will.
Bully Leeds says, Paul Brennan, for sure, is best midfielder at the club for me. I think we're probably not going to argue that at the moment.
I would. I'd put Tyler above him. Yeah.
Oh, I think he means who can play. Well, I hope
Tyler can play.
Not
he can play very well.
Not at the moment, he can't.
You don't know that Forshaw can. There's been a couple of days since he last played.
Jesus Christ.
He might be out for the next 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Paul Brennan says, Adam Forshaw's old school, can pass a ball, gets stuck in. Unfortunately, gets injured. If he was injury-free, he would have been first class. He gets what Leeds United is all about. I think that's spot on. And we've got another one you just thrown up for me. Mark Wright says, how are we going to manage if it goes to the last game of the season with no signal in AR and folks watching from different countries?
We're not. There's going to be heart attacks all over the place.
We're going to be going insane, aren't we? Bloody hell.
I'm going to get one of them little digital radios that you plug into your ear. on old medium wave and just tune it into local radio.
Yeah,
and then that. You'll just pick up some pirate radio station with all the bangers on.
Yeah, you get some wacky stuff around here when you're scrolling through radio channels, I tell you. Right, I was going to move us on. Left back.
Now he's finished with Rotherham for the season. Just to address that, any of the loanees that have returned, we can't register them. None of them are going to be available.
You can't come back. There's no window open for that. Right, so I was going to move us on before when we were just talking about Bamford. And normally we used to have the poll at this point, but obviously we've had plenty to talk about in recent times, so we're not bothered with the poll for this week also. And the first thing I'm going to bring up is the abuse that Bamford's been getting. I said before, you know, I said on Twitter, the first person to call a player out for playing crap or for not being good enough or whatever, if I think they've, you know, done really shit and cost us. But some of the shit that I've been reading on there, man, some of the stuff that's been said, it's unreal. And you were saying, Gilly, the guy's not down tools. Could you blame him if he did now?
I don't think the guy's the sort of person that would. But no, you're not. You could forgive somebody for sitting back and going, why the fuck am I running myself into the ground for that sort of support? Now, the other side to things is, I don't think that will be something that will even cross his mind because of the support he got during the game. After he missed that pen, the South Stand were chanting his name. And I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong and you've heard different, I think in the stadium he's pretty much had nothing but support. It's the social media shit. And
look, we were fuming at the time, weren't we? And I think it's spot on. And it's almost the contrast between watching it and then being on Twitter to actually being in the stadium. You don't actually get that feeling. We were all pissed off. We were all felt let down. We were all fuming at the time. But we let his frustrations out in the pub after or the walk back to the car or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And it's sort of done with there and then. That's the problem with social media. It's a massive echo chamber and people get angrier and angrier. And just it just breeds negativity. It breeds negativity. And you can see who's been to the game 9 times out of 10 on Twitter, and you can see the comments from people who haven't. And nothing against people who don't or can't get to games or whatever. And it's not everybody. It's a small minority. But what those that, you know, speak loudest are usually those that don't really often get involved, if you know what I mean. And it's not a personal attack on anybody. It's just those people who've got the time on their hands to be able to, you know, or even want to, you know. It's cowardly. It's disgusting. It's usually a faceless account, and it's just pathetic.
Yeah, it is. It's
absolutely pathetic.
Those who watch him and actually can see, and you know, when you watch it, even when you watch it on television, you only see what the cameraman wants to show you. If you watch Paddy Bamford week in, week out, you can see his movement. You can see he's dragging players away. You can see he's running. You can see he's putting his backs into defenders. And you don't always see the bigger picture on television. And it's difficult. It is difficult to have a contrast between the two.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I think, like you say, it's easy to tell the people that aren't watching the full games live and not seeing everything.
Yeah, I think to Luke's point about people that watch from home, it's not denigrating those people. It's you don't tend to find anybody in the stands behaving that way. You only find people that aren't at the stadium acting in that way. But even then, it's only a tiny, tiny, tiny vocal minority, but a tiny minority nonetheless. I think again, you know, the way that it's been handled has been all right. I've seen some shit from people that otherwise I thought might have been all right on social media going, well, you know, if you're a footballer and you're going on social media and you're looking things up that you're not even tagged in, but you're looking for it. Yeah. Well, I that doesn't excuse it for a start. But equally, I think those people were missing the fact that his missus had had direct messages to her, you know, about his baby and his dog and, wishing cancer on people, you know, it's absolutely reprehensible. And I think, but not just, I mean, to do that for anybody, But to do that for somebody that is working hard for your club, it's just, it's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
Like, I'm so frustrated with the guy on the pitch, but he's busting a gut out there. He's trying. It's not for lack of effort. It's not that he don't care. It's not that he's not giving his all. To come out and do stuff like that, say stuff like that, contact his missus for fuck's sake. It's just like, people that do this are people that wouldn't say boo to a goose. They wouldn't, you know, if you knocked into them in a pub, they'd say, sorry, mate. And their heads would go down. Do you know what I mean? They wouldn't say all to you.
Only because they'd be looking at you.
Get fucked, Luke. They wouldn't say anything to you. Do you know what I mean? But when they're sat there and, like you say, in an echo chamber as well, it's this thing where you get a group of morons together and they become emboldened because, like, they say something, someone agrees with them, and that makes them more confident then to come out with some more bullshit, and they get worse and worse, and they all start chiming in. It's just, it's moronic. And
these people are very, very quick to think about that first season back in the Premier League, you know, the goals he scored that season, the goals that he's, you know, the hat-trick against Villa that he scored for us. Look, he's not at that level anymore. He's not in that form. But to take something so personally as a football game, they're the ones with the issues, not Paddy Bamford, at the end of the day for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. It's just, you know, you call someone out, say you were shit today or you're not playing well enough or we need somebody else, whatever. But wishing ill health, death, you know, horrible shit on
especially,
people.
You know, just one thing that, I know we've moved off the Newcastle game, but one thing that were brilliant was both sets of fans chanting for Gary Speed.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. It was great. And then what we're doing is we're going to wish death on one of our players.
Yeah. He's a guy that we all loved, that we dearly missed.
I wouldn't say we. I'd use the term we loosely. Sorry. Leeds United fan.
The very, 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 very small minority of people that purport to be Leeds fans is what our meaning of. But, you know, that bit, we didn't cover it while we were talking about the Newcastle game. And that was... It was a touching moment, and you know, it was nice to see, and it was good to see. But you know, the people on the pitch, they are human beings. You know, they are not they're not robots. They are fallible. They get things wrong, and you know, abuse like that is going to impact anybody. So you know, I hope he's in a position where he understands that is that tiny, tiny, tiny minority. And I'm certain that he will, because he'll reflect on the support that he got in the stadium on the day, hopefully, and pick it up from there.
That's it's a minority, like you say, and hopefully the club are going to look after him now. I expect they will. They put a statement out about it, saying how they strongly condemned it and everything. And I truly hope that they can identify a few of them and get them banned, because they don't deserve to be coming to Leeds games. Not doing shit like that.
Well, I don't think they do, though, do they?
I don't think they do, Gilly. It's just, you know, they'll be the odd one. They'll be the odd one who's joined in with somebody or who's just a mom.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I bet it's one of those things, and we've mentioned it before. I don't think until you're in a position where you know who's who on social media, when you can have umpteen different accounts and what have you, and people can abuse some of those accounts, and those accounts get banned, but they don't care because they just create another one. You're always going to have this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
I say that as somebody with about 35 different Twitter accounts. I don't use any of them to abuse anybody. But you know, that's the only way you actually deal with that level of abuse and that type of abuse is to for them to know who it is.
And we've seen,
my only concern on the other side to it, my only concern is that when you've got a space Karen at the helm, is he going to abuse that power?
Yeah, well, yeah. But we've seen in the past with like the racism and stuff on Twitter, haven't we? Nothing really gets done. I don't see that ever changing unless for some reason it starts to cost them money. And that's the only time it'll change. And that's it, sadly. That's the world we live in. I'm just going to run through a few of the comments we've got about this part. Mr. Dodo said, a bit of healthy banter like my piano joke. I don't know what he said, but isn't the end of the world, but bringing his family into it in death threats over a soccer ball game is fucking disgusting. We'll not be able to bring your comments up again if you call it that. Michael got...
I'd like to see if I can find the piano joke.
You got to find it now. Michael Gott says, you have a right to criticise someone for his form, but to attack him personally and his family is going way over the line. Absolutely agree. Kev Marston, Bamford is always supported in the ground. We might get frustrated, but it's only on social media that this happens. Keyboard warriors. I think that's what we were saying. Totally agree with that one. Jammy's just put it nice and succinctly. Arseholes. Plain and simple. Then we've got Emmy Lou.
I can't see a Jano joke, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. It probably means on Twitter rather than in the comments. Emmy Lou says, everyone in the stadium was gutted, but everyone's chanting his name after the missed pen. That is very true, they were. And Chris Gearing says, you're all correct, lads. They shouldn't get time of day of true supporters at Elland Road. Yeah, totally agree. I'm in two minds now, like where to go here. Do we want to talk about our chances of staying up, or do you want to move on to the next game chat?
I think we've done it to death, that really, haven't we?
Yeah, that's what I figured, to be fair.
No, and nobody,
I don't want to.
We've got absolutely no idea.
We've never got a fucking clue, realistically.
Right then, next game.
I did have a look back at our predictions, and we are miles Jesus. Away. So we know as little as anybody else.
That's why we're just idiots talking crap on a podcast and not managing football teams. All right, so next game coming up, it's going to be West Ham away, and I am going to go down to that one. Are you going, Luke?
I'm not, mate. No, I'm having a weekend off from football and from life and, recovering. And then I'm going to get myself up for Spurs. I considered it last weekend after a few pints, but, absolutely not, mate. No, I'm going to have a weekend with my girls and then, drive up next weekend for Spurs. I've got a long weekend up there. I'm getting more tattoo on Friday than the game's on Sunday, I think. So, yeah, just gonna chill this weekend and watch it on the box and send loads of abuse to people on Twitter.
Fair enough. Just what we've been talking about not doing.
That's why I said it.
Fair enough. Gilly, how are you feeling about the West Ham game? Do you think there'll be many changes coming up other than Firpo, or do you think he's going to stick with it now and this is our shape and our team for the rest of the season? The two games that are left.
I think if it were two home games on the bounce, I think we might see a more expansive side, especially with, you know, you look at Newcastle and what they've done to some of the teams and, you know, where they are in the league. You can fully appreciate why when we went to Man City, it felt like we were, let's just put out some fires and let's not give anything away. Let's try and stay in the game. I felt there was a little bit of that with Newcastle, but nothing like as marked. I thought we did carry a lot more threat that we said that we needed to, and I think that we did do that. So I don't see much in terms of personnel. I don't see much changing. I think with it being away from home, we might set up slightly differently in terms of willingness to get forward and what have you. But I don't see many personnel changes coming unless they're enforced. I think that might be different for West Ham. So I think that's, you know, from a Leeds perspective, I don't see much difference. From a West Ham perspective, this will be their fourth game in 10 days. Yeah. And if all goes well, I think Thursday night, they'll be in the final.
Yeah.
They've got Alkmaar, aren't they, in the second leg on Thursday night. So and I think they're as good as safe. So I don't know. I suspect they'll be looking with one eye on a European final. So I think there might be personnel changes on their side rather than ours. I think ours will be fairly static, other than things that are enforced.
You'd expect them to put out a fairly weak team, wouldn't you? If they're in that final, because they're safe now. They're not going to go down.
Yeah, no. I think we can catch them. Leicester have blown us out there. We can catch them on point, but we're about 9 goals behind them.
Yeah, so it'd take a massive swing.
They're not mathematically safe, but it'd be really, really. You know, we'd have to batter them 8-0.
Yeah,
and then beat and they'd have to lose their last game of the season, and we'd need to win. So it's not looking likely that we're going to catch them. So they are plus or minus. They are just about safe. So I suspect they'll have their eye on trying to land the silverware.
I mean, if they win that, they go into Europa League, don't they, next season? Yeah. That's insane to look at the season.
And they could,
they'll be in Europa.
At one stage, they could have been playing in the Championship next year if they weren't safe. Well, I think they're probably about
that. Did that?
Yeah, Wigan won the FA Cup, didn't they?
Yeah,
they got through to Europe, domestic cups and got to Europe. Yeah. They got relegated in the same season, didn't they?
Yeah, I think just for me, on you mentioned there about how we might line up and everything. I think it depends because we lined up completely differently in both games against City and Newcastle for me, like completely differently in terms of the formation and personnel. So I expect to see a few changes. I think we might see, a bit more from our exciting players, Willie, maybe Cree as well, because ultimately it's a game that we can probably win, and it's probably, arguably, in terms of opposition, the easiest of the three we had left before Newcastle. However, with it being away from home, it's slightly different. Mr. Dodo's just asked, what's Big Sam's record at West Ham? I've just pulled it up. He's played against West Ham 19 times. Winning 7, losing 7, and drawing 5. An average points per game of 1.37. So,
well balanced then.
Absolutely well balanced.
So all could happen, basically.
Yeah. anything could happen. But it's, for me, it's the one we've got to go for. Until we know where we stand, this would have been in Big Sam's eyes when he took the job. Four games to go would have been the one that he eyed up as a potential 3-pointer, especially where West Ham sitting in the league.
I think
they've got potential of a final to look forward to. They've also, as Gilly said, would have played 4 times in 10 days. They're already safe in the league pretty much, and barring a massive goal difference swing, not going to happen.
Don't they play Thursday and play a Sunday? So it's like 2 days rest. Yeah.
So they haven't got a long time to prep for us. They're going to be prepping, I would say, in the majority for AZ Alkmaar. They may rest a few. There's potential it goes to extra time, penalties, everything else as well on Thursday. I think this is the one we've got to really go for, and then know where we stand on the last day of the season before we go into Spurs at the very least. So yeah, I expect to see quite a number of changes. In fairness, I think we'll have a much more attacking formation or lineup. Certainly, I think we might even see Willie start and some one or two other changes. I actually think he might drop Bamford. You know,
maybe
because I don't
He's
think
done
we'll
it for
be
Melly,
playing.
Yeah.
I don't think no, not necessarily just because of that. Because I don't think that's the type of game we're going to be playing. We're not going to be expecting to put it up to a centre forward to try and hold it up and bring players into the game. I expect we'll probably be going for it.
You think we'll try to get in behind and play through channels rather than lump it?
I don't know. I just don't expect to have a centre forward. I just don't expect us to have any passengers, I suppose. And that's probably a bit unfair on Paddy, but what I mean is when you're playing Man City with a centre forward, he's a passenger pretty much. All he's got to do is run around and keep defenders busy and everything like that. I think we'll expect to have a lot more of the ball than we have in the previous two fixtures. I don't know what I expect in terms of lineups, to be fair, but I think we will see a lot more excitement from the starting 11.
Fair enough. Gilly, would you put a left back?
It depends on who else is fit. I think from a, you know, Verber can do a perfectly good job there, but it's likely that we need him at centre-back more than anything else. So I'm going to say Hail Mary and play Dallas.
Oh, wow. I don't think he's going to play for us this year, but we'll see.
No, it's a really interesting issue to have, isn't it? You've got Pascal came on towards the end of the game, so maybe he's in the front running for it, should it need to be. He did okay early on in the season, I think, for somebody that were playing out of position. I mean, to be fair, he played poorly at centre-back, but it would have to have been asked to play left-back for 12 games or whatever it was that he did. He was solid enough, what, quick in attack. He's not a left back by trade, so there's some shortcomings, but he was solid enough. It does allow whoever's on the right-hand side to get forward a bit more, because effectively what you've got is a solid left-back that's not really going to get forward as much. Mm. But it weakens us a bit. I'd quite like to see Willie in front of him if it's going to be strike, because I think he's just got that bit extra, and you don't need the same level of tracking and defensive work from Jackie if you've got somebody that's always going to sit. So I think Willie's got a bit more about him. And you can take the shackles off somewhat if you've got Pascal behind him rather than somebody that's looking to get forward as well. It's an interesting one, because Firpo's had his shortcomings, but he's done all right this side of Christmas. He's kind of played himself back into the side, and you are guaranteed a yellow every now and again. When you've got a player that's guaranteed a yellow, they're going to pick up a red. We should have seen it coming, but it will be an interesting one. I think just on the Paddy thing, I think if you look at their centre backs, the big, the strong, you look at Ogbonna, he's a unit, but he's not the quickest, certainly not on the turn. So Luke might be on something there in terms of, rather than taking the fight to them, get the ball on the floor and run at them and see what they can do on the turn and see if you can get them going back towards the goal, because that's where a centre-back don't want to be. So it might be that, you know, a bit, but Luke's also right in that we've seen two lineups so far, but they've been against the first and the third in the league, and we might see something that's completely different to either of them now.
Mark Wright's just made the exact point I was going to make. I'd love to see Jack Harrison at left wing-back.
See, I mentioned this on BNC, but... I was shot down a little bit because I'm not sure he's the man to be trying to block someone crossing and shepherd them towards a corner and hold them up a bit and stuff. I don't know.
He could do a lot worse at left back.
Possibly.
He's definitely got the physiology, hasn't he? He's got the ethic. He's got the physicality to be able to do the job. If we go back to what we were saying about having that bit of an edge, having that bit of shithousery about it, he doesn't have any of that. That for me is the only bit that I look at his game and I think, you know, we've talked about consistency loads, you know, that's what he really needs in his game. But the bit that's lacking almost completely is there's no shithousery to his game. There's no kidology. There's nothing. He's very transparent as a player. You know if he's been fouled. But even if he's being fouled, he's up and he's off and he's not playing on it. He's a really honest player. As a defender, sometimes that's a bit of a downfall.
Imagine the link-up play. You can see it now. Him and Nonto down that left-hand side. One coming in, you know. It'd be lovely. Especially if we are going all-out attack to win this game, you know. And I doubt we will. We're not going to go all out attack. It's not going to be sort of.
We can't afford to leave ourselves open, can we?
No, absolutely not. And I'm not daft. I don't expect us to start with nine attacking players and just leave Christensen and Warburton at the back. But it'd be really nice to see them two on the same side of the field and rotating. Not rotating, but giving Harrison that little bit more extra freedom down that side, and maybe having a better right back, you know, a better in terms of defensive work and moving, slotting him over that way.
Yeah.
Or even if Cook starts in defensive midfield, slots back into the defence, and then Christensen, Warburton, Cook, and Ailing then make the back four if Harrison goes out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. My worry is that he moves Rasmus there, and I don't want him to touch the two centre-backs or keeper now for these next two games. I just want that left as it is, and I'm hoping that that'll be the case.
You never know. You might see Cock as his absolute star man, and he don't want to take him out of the side, but there's no place for him in midfield if he's going to start Forshaw, and therefore he drops Rasmus to the bench or to left back and puts Starman Cock in at centre back.
Possibly, but let's.
I've just had a look at West Ham's bench in their last game. They were playing against Brentford. They got beat 2-0. And West Ham's bench was Cresswell, Zouma, Lucas Paqueta, Areola, Bowen, Benrahma, Kerrer, Rice, and Mbama.
Bloody hell.
So they were already resting players.
Yeah.
That's insane. I'd really hope to see that.
We've got absolutely no idea what they're going to line up like either, really.
Jesus Christ. I mean, like,
what would your main changes be for this game? Like, who would you put back in that wasn't playing against Newcastle? Just quick little rundown. Would you put Aronson in, or would you leave him where he is?
No.
Good.
No, I wouldn't.
Is there anyone you would put in?
I think I'd probably, I mean, I don't think he played too badly, but I'd probably drop Sam Greenwood and bring somebody more exciting, either Cree or Willian. I think this is the type of game that you can look at Cree coming on. Even Rutter getting a goal for the 21s might be a bit of confidence. I know we haven't seen enough from him at this level, but those are the three if I was to bring anybody in, I think that I'd be looking at.
Would you chance Rutter over Bamford?
Don't know. Quicker. He's a lot quicker. And going back to what Gilly says, I don't think he would. I think if he was going to play a number nine with a little bit more pace about him and you know, a bit more finesse, then he'd probably look at starting Rodrigo up top.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to go two strikers again or if he's going to try and pack the midfield or what. We don't have a clue, do we?
We won't have an idea.
We don't have a clue.
What's his record against Moyes? Let's have a look. Carry on talking and I'll have a look.
Yeah, while you pull that up, I'm dropping Greenwood because I'm bringing in Forshaw. I think Forshaw, the half that he had in the second half, that's not me being a detractor of Greenwood. I think he's tidy on the ball. In fact, I think it was his burst through two players that gave Paddy the ball. Mm. And it was his right-footed cross that set Rodrigo up for Ayling's goal because it was just palmed out, wasn't it?
We won't look at that.
Say no more.
So, I mean, whether Cox starts in midfield again or not is anybody's guess. It depends. Mm. You know, it depends on what the answer to the Firpo question is. A lot of it, I think. But I'd be looking to take Greenwood out of the midfield and play Forshaw. Also be looking to start Willie.
I would agree with starting Willie and Forshaw as well. I just think there's a possibility that Greenwood will start again purely for his set-piece ability. I think that's why he was in there against Newcastle.
And every set-piece was good. In fact, there wasn't a lot of wastage, was there? And Allardyce prides himself on making the most of the chances you get in games and look, with corners, free kicks, set pieces are ones that we certainly need to be trying to convert. So anyway, just to give you the record versus Moyes, just to put a little bit of damage on the situation. He's played him 28 times, second only to Arsene Wenger, who played 34 times. He has beaten David Moyes' side 8 times. They've drawn 4. And he's lost 16 times to David Moyes.
Fair enough.
Is this Big Sam or Leeds? This is Big Sam.
This is Big Sam. Albeit, you've got to factor in, I suppose, the teams that Sam has managed against Moyes and the clubs that Moyes has been at when Everton were good and scum and everyone else. So he still averaged a point a game.
Fair enough. Pod Dodgers say he'd start with Forshaw and change to Greenwood later in the game.
See, I, if I was going to play one or the other, I would say that was the opposite way around.
Yeah, I probably would, you know. Mark Jones, wonder if Luke would smile if we won on the weekend. Only kidding, bald one.
have I been that grumpy? I hadn't noticed.
To be fair, you've been more positive of the three of us.
I haven't smiled a lot. I haven't smiled a lot, to be fair. Anyway, fuck it.
Okay, now we've got a couple more comments. I'm just going to fire through. Coleslaw is saying Bowen will be tricky to keep under wraps for a quiet season this year. I like Bowen a lot as a player. I do not want to play against him. Michael Gott is saying Sam stayed true to his word from the first press conference. It'll change things according to the opponent. Kev Marston said, for West Ham to go down, it needs not only the goal swing, but all the teams between us and them to win all games. That's not happening. And there's just one from Shelley Johnson here saying it's Mental Health Awareness Week. So in the words of Jerry Springer, take care of yourselves and each other. Absolutely. He probably should have took slightly better care of himself, though, but yeah. Jerry Springer.
I don't think he could help it. I don't
popped
think
his
like...
clogs.
Jesus.
Been living a life of excess, Luke. I'm telling you, that's what all these people are like. It's like Jeremy Kyle.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to say something else then. But,
these are the thoughts of individuals and not of the alternative.
Yeah. I'm going to say something else about somebody who appears on This Morning but decided I'm not going to go there. We'll move on to predictions, and I think for West Ham, because we've been going on for a while now, so we'll start getting towards wrapping up. Hand over to you.
Auto no better predictions.
Take it away.
Move like silk, that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm coming straight back to you, Jay, because you That's know all right, mate. Being top of the league and all of that, you're up first, I'm afraid.
This has been bothering me so much. I've been thinking about this all day. So I'm going 14
because
leagues.
Because I've started putting pressure under you, innit? You started to wobble, you're doing the Arsenal.
Yeah, you've lit a fire under me now, 4-2 leads.
4-2 leads. Wow. And I am next in the league, and I'm going to go 2-1 leads.
What are you saying, Luke? Mr. Positive, happy clapping.
3-1 leads.
Ooh. Do you know
Bamford
that's...
to score.
Oh, fucking hell. It's going big. That's the result I originally thought. And then I thought, no, do you know what? I think if we get ahead, I think we'll go for it here. So I changed my mind and went for the 4-2. That's good because we've got some separation there. We don't want the same.
We have. So I'm just looking through. So I think this one is the first one I saw from the fans. So Andy is in this time. So he's gone 3-0 leads, no bubbles. I do really fucking hate that song.
Nil bubble.
It's awful. Is that the worst song in football?
You'll never walk alone.
There's a few that I hate. That
it's
one,
really it's rivaling with it. The one that Everton go woo.
The fucking Zed Cars one pisses me off. Yeah. It's terrible, man.
But yeah, no, Bubbles is right up there as a shit football song.
Got to agree with that. Absolute tripe.
There is some really shit. We could actually probably do a full podcast on how shit some of the Premier League. Even the Premier League anthem shit.
We'll call it Premier Vision, and we'll rate them all and score them and raise money for a good cause. Luke addressing like some kind of weird Eurovision type outfit.
I can't see anything from Smarty or Bren or anybody else in the or Carl. Or Carl's too much of a pussy now, anyway. But two for Harrison and two for Cooper. Yeah. Oh no, Bamford two, one for Harrison, one for Cooper.
Yeah, one for Cooper.
In Cooper out for the season.
I don't think it was.
No, he's not.
I don't
no,
think we've heard anything, have we? I think it was.
I don't think so.
Was it Sinisterra out for the season?
Yeah.
Arguably, I've been two leads win.
Coleslaw's gone rogue. He's gone 3-1 hammers. Ooh. Come on, man. What are you talking about here?
Hey, if that's what you think, that's what you think. At least he's got the courage of conviction, Jay. Not like you, Michael for leads even when you think it's wrong.
Michael Gott says West Ham is Michael Jackson's favourite team. I'm forever blowing bubbles.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fucking hell. Have any of you guys got an auto bitter this week?
I'm letting Si down this week. I know it's new.
Auto no bitter! With Rachel Adedeji!
Fair enough. I think we only play that, Luke, if someone's actually doing it.
You said you were doing it before we started.
No, I didn't.
Gilly!
No, I said I didn't have one.
No, Jay said before we started he's got one, a little one, didn't he?
No, I never said that. I said if I were going to have one, I'd probably moan about Real Madrid and how they're going to buy £400 or £500 million worth of players. But yeah, it's not enough to get me going. I'm too tired for that, to be honest with you. I like listening to Gilly have a rant because he's more entertaining than me.
I think if I was to have one, it'd just be more about the absolute tools that are in our fan base, and we've already spoken about it. But that goes for every fan base, you know. We're not an isolated in that football, a lot of football fans are dickheads, you know, and
yeah,
it's just the way it is. Like, you know what I mean? I read a tweet the other day and I actually partly agreed with it, but partly didn't. It was something along the lines of, if you're going to take your kid to football, don't be offended by colourful language.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Which I agree with. I do agree.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
You know, and depending where you sit in the stadium probably makes a bit of a difference as well. I mean, if you're going to take somebody to the South Stand at Ellen Road, you're going to hear a lot of colourful language. If you take them to the family stand, you probably should behave yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with that. You can't sit in family stand and be giving it every word under the sun, can you? That's just, that's not right.
And you don't, because right, tell you not, you do to get, if you told. Are. You know, yeah. There's been times I've not been able to get a ticket in G's or South or NEL, and we've ended up in East, and you know, you do get the looks off the stewards if you're chanting into them, fuck them up, and whatever else going on. You do get the odd one that just gives you the eye, and you're like, come on, mate, you're in family stand. And I think that, you know, that's fair. I don't give a shit about the corporates, but when you're in family stand, I think there is a thing around that. But there's no getting away from it. They're going to hear "you shit bastard" from anywhere they're sat in stadium. There's no getting away from it at all. So I do agree with the I didn't see the, I might have seen the, I can't remember if I saw the tweet or not, but I do agree with the premise. Is, you know, you're going to hear that sort of language at football games, and I don't want to take it away. I don't think it's right to try to.
No, hang on. Emmylou's got an auto bitter for us. The job's worth the AR staff member that grassed on her son having the match ball under his seat, and the one who made his way into the stand to recover it, Bell ends. I mean,
is that when we were trying to win game?
Yeah, if the game's going on, it's not going to go down that well, keeping the ball under your seat, is it? But no, if it were after the game, then, you know.
I don't know if you guys are at the opposite end of the stadium to me. I don't know if you'd have been able to pick up on it, but the ball by behind the goal, I'd hold of the ball and walked over at like half a mile an hour.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Was brilliant. I got a round of applause from everybody at that end of the stadium. It was great.
It was great. Right, I think that'll probably do for us, because we've gone on for fucking ages. Is there anything else that needs mentioning? Do you want to mention the charity walk or anything, really?
Yeah, I could cover that off. So we are approaching the end now. We've got, 8 days left of this challenge of 400 miles apiece. A group of five of us, so 2,000 miles as a group, the equivalent of to the Spurs Stadium and back from the 1st of April through to the 28th of May, the last day of the season. And it's been harrowing. It's been horrible. There's been times when it's been pissing it down and freezing cold, and I'm drip wet through, and I'm thinking, what the fuck am I doing this for? And then there's other times when I'm piss wet through because I'm sweating, because it's red hot, because our weather's stupid. And yes, I do have a little bit of, I did catch a little bit. There were a comment in the there were a message in the comments.
Southwest getting sunburned from all the water. Yeah.
And I'm currently on a bit of a break from mine because of this.
Is that the actual sound of me?
That is, that's actually my knee. His knee. He's playing the video back of his knee.
That probably one's looking at that, Luke.
don't get me onto that, because that is an auto bitter. That's absolutely not relative to tonight. But everyone's doing really, really well, and people are not enjoying it.
But do you know what? The case, so I didn't put myself forward.
But the amount of support and the donations that we've had and everything else, that's what makes it. You know, you look at some of the stuff, and I'm absolutely not putting us in the same bracket, but you look at some of the stuff that Sir Kev's doing and things like that, and you look at the support that he's getting, and the support that we're out for the marathon runners over the weekend, and the support that we've had on social media and the donations and what have you. And that's the answer to the question of what the fuck am I doing this for? That's why, and it's so that the foundation can do the good work in the community and all of those bits. We've been promised some bits to share beyond the end of the challenge as to what sort of thing the money's going to be used for, and you know, it is that bit that motivates you and keeps you going. And you know, we are going to get there. We're coming towards the end of the challenge now. We are going to get there.
One other final thing, I just want to mention: how good is it to see Marcelo back in football?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And how many Leeds fans are going to be wearing Uruguay shirts next season?
Yep.
Oh, of course they are. Absolutely. Let's hope they've got a nice kit in one of our colours that we can.
One quick question, Gilly.
Sorry. So, yeah, I usually mention that and I completely missed it. Thanks for picking me up on that one. There is a Just Giving page that's linked directly with the charity. So, for anybody that doesn't know, the reason that kicked off this challenge is that there was some money that was purportedly raised for the Leeds United Foundation that never made its way to them. So we decided that we were going to do something about that and see what we could do to cover the shortfall or better it. So there is a Just Giving page that's linked directly with the charity. The money goes straight to them as soon as we're done, and we'll get the links in and we'll share the links. And in fact, I'll paste the link into the comments here while it's active.
I'm hoping we're going to get like a glamour shot of you guys handing over like a big check, you know, like you've done game shows.
The giant check, that is.
Yeah.
And then somebody just pours loads of slime over us from the.
That'll be me.
Yeah, we said above.
Yeah, I'll use a ladder. It's all right. Right, I think that's it for tonight then.
Comments in. It's in the comments. You might have to cut and put. You might have to paste it rather than clicking it, because I'm not sure if it'll work straight out of the comments. But that's where it is, and we'll also have it on. We've got it on Insta and Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else. We'll splash it around a bit more. And thanks again, everybody, for supporting.
Yeah, cheers, everyone. You're doing a great effort with it, lads. Even though I think you're all mad. but yeah, that's it for another exciting episode. So thanks everyone for joining us. Cheers, Gilly. Cheers, Luke. And good night, everybody. Roll the tape.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.